प्रहलाद महाराज कुसुमा श्लोक पदार विंदयो The lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is worshipped by transcendental prayer. Nisevaya by constant service. Akinchana of devotees who have nothing to do with the material world. Sangha in the association. Labdaya obtained. Tanvam extending. Param highest. Nivrittim bliss. Atmanaha of the spirit soul. Nuhu constantly. Did we say everything actually? Maybe I jumped over a line, isn't it? Sangha-jīnasya of a person who in spiritual understanding due to the bad association. Maha, the mind, shaman, peaceful, vyadat, made. Translation, because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees, who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features, when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. Perfect. Apparently, Prahlad Maharaj was placed in circumstances in which he was always tortured by his father. In such material conditions, one cannot have an undisturbed mind. But since bhakti is unconditional, ahaituki apratiyata, Prahlad Maharaj was never disturbed by the chastisements of Hiranyakashipu. On the contrary, the bodily symptoms of his ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead turned the minds of his friends who had also been born in atheistic families. Instead of being disturbed by the torments of his father, Prahlad influenced these friends and cleansed their minds. A devotee is never contaminated by material conditions, but persons subjected to material conditions can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Narasati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vastatya Vishatadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Please, devotees, open those window, maybe one more window, because it's the day after the festival and everyone will be very tired. Sa uttama shloka padara vindayo nishevaya kinchana sanga labdaya tanvam param nivritimat manomuro yu sanga dhinasya manat shaman vyadat. Because of its association with perfect unalloyed devotees who have nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. This verse describes what is happening to someone who meets a pure devotee. It is said here that Prahlad Maharaj, due to his association with perfect unalloyed devotees, who were constantly engaged, therefore, because of that association, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. And in turn, those who saw Prahlad Maharaj also became purified and immersed in transcendental bliss. Of course, we have a very nice example of this chain reaction in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who came in contact with the Lord during his South Indian travels were immediately empowered by the Swarup Shakti of the Lord and became fully immersed in Krishna consciousness. And in turn, those people who saw the people Mahaprabhu had met, they are also in, how do you say this, empowered by this Swarup Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they saw a revival of the lost soul happening. The Svarup Shakti has two features. It is of the Svarini Shakti, which is the pleasure-giving potency of the Lord, and then the Sangit Shakti, the knowledge-giving potency of the Lord. And devotional service is under the guidance of this internal energy of the Supreme Lord. In fact, someone who engages in pure devotional service has to be empowered. Otherwise, his devotional service will be in the realm of Mishra Bhakti. He will have some bhakti, but his material qualifications will overshadow this bhakti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says how this Shakti, this Swarup Shakti works. Sadhu Kripa Nama Vina Premana Janmaya. Without the mercy of a devotee and without the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, love of Godhead cannot be possible. So when the devotees, empowered devotees, walk over this planet, they become the repositories of the Lord's divine energy, and someone who meets with them will be awakened by the touch of this pure devotee into Krishna consciousness. This is what is described here more or less. Now, today in the morning, today's morning class will attempt to give a few philosophical points which illustrate the awakening of Krishna consciousness within conditioned soul heart. This subject is important for our own Krishna consciousness, because we also want to experience how we will be fully empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to do our service. And it is also important for us as members of the preaching mission of Krishna consciousness. As you might probably know, much before Christ's birth, a prediction was voiced by one elder called Namarvara. He said, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Eyes can see it. The fangs of the Kali Yuga are broken. The devotees of the sea-colored Lord swarm about the earth, spreading the holy name around. That's a prediction of the Hare Krishna movement, because the Hare Krishna movement has appeared in the Kali Yuga as a branch of the Chaitanya tree, as Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu told us the other evening, it is fulfilling slowly this prediction. The followers of the sea-colored Lord, the Shyam Sundar, are swarming about in the earth and spreading the holy name around. So by the mercy of devotees and the mercy of the holy name, this reawakening and this empowerment of the lost souls, so to say, the lost angels, the lost souls, can take a part, and that we can be witness of this wonderful adventure and this wonderful process if we so desire. On our last Poland tour, we have seen that it is possible for people to be inspired by the chanting of the holy name. We could see them dancing and chanting. Certainly, some of them were dancing and chanting because they had never seen Vaishnavas, and because the program seemed to be very attractive and convincing to them. So on an external level, we might say, well, you are very naive, you say that this is all the working of this internal energy. They were dancing rock and roll. But the fact which is not considered in this argument is that what they heard for the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and what rose them to their feet was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when they wanted to hear more, they went Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare. Instead of hearing Tugabe, Tugabe, or Ankur, or whatever the proper word is, they saying Hare Krishna. This is the mercy of the holy name who tricked them. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a little philosophical language, explained this, and I want to read it because it's so concise. Latent within the jiva are the minuscule spiritual potencies of alarha, this is bliss, and samvit. That latent means it's dormant there, it's sleeping, it's not yet manifested, are the spiritual potencies of bliss and knowledge. the Swarup Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord Himself, descends to contact and awaken these tiny spiritual potencies of the Jiva. All this is affected by the causeless mercy and influence of the Holy Name. You understand, the Holy Name comes with Sarva Shakti, as we hear in Mahaprabhu's prayer, and he comes and awakens the bliss and the knowledge within someone who hears it. That's why when we chant Hare Krishna, free from the mental platform, and hear the Holy Name, we develop immediately some transcendental bliss and also knowledge. Even a child can take part in this. I want to give an example to you by this little Nima. Please, shake my off as it is missing. This is Nima here, where the other son is. Hare Krishna. Then he looks very small, but he's already very grown up. It is a certain species he is. He's in. When he was a very little boy, I mean very little, then his Austrian instructor asked him what he had is in a Gurukul here, once a year or even twice a year they have to go to Austria because they are Austrian nationals and have to make a test so that the Austrian school system can convince themselves that he has actually met the standard of a person of this age, that the whole Chimuta family has to do this. And they usually pass, isn't it? Mm. So, when he was very small, he was changing every day. The instructors asked him, so what is the difference between this school, the Gurukul school, and our school? You can see you're learning the same things, you're talking the same things, you're making the same test. And little Nimai answered, and I thought this was a good Siddhanta, a good conclusion of our philosophy. Now this school makes human beings out of animals. Sadhu, sadhu. No one had told this to him because, see, we don't want our children to say this. It's a fact, but we have to be diplomatic in this society. So he had realized the one Siddhanta of the educational system. Modern educational systems actually make sophisticated animals out of primitive, in respect to the sensibilities of the family men, but you know what I want to say, it's really not very a very divine personality who is produced from this educational system. So when he was very little, he said, I remember it, I think in Switzerland he told me 4 years ago, I hope it's not forgetting. By the mercy of the Holy Name, who according to Mahaprabhu is full with all divine energies, this Swarup Shakti of the Lord, the spiritual energy of the Lord, descends and awakens within the heart of the conditioned soul bliss and knowledge, alaha and samvit. All this is affected by the causeless mercy and influence of the Holy Name. The Swarup Shakti contains the very essence of the Hladini and Samvit potencies. We could see in Poland that people who came in contact with the Holy Name immediately saw felt a reawakening of their spiritual qualifications. And in turn, those people who are met by those people, they will in turn experience maybe not as strong, but still a little remnant of this Shakti. That's why after these programs we heard that some people felt envious that they were not there. Oh, we didn't come to this Hare Krishna program. We missed it. And they became envious on those who came. There was such a story. This is a direct proof to all of us how spreading Krishna consciousness can become very, very successful. Now, because we are here in this little circle of Vaishnavas, let us please consider this in a deep way. All of us, we should be bearers of this spiritual potency. We should be empowered preachers. The first qualification for a preacher who wants to be empowered is he must be convinced that without Krishna consciousness there is no saving grace, no solution for the dilemmas of this world. See, Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian concern of a few hot-headed people. Krishna consciousness is actually the eternal, original position of the soul. The soul, which is not in Krishna consciousness, is in a diseased condition of life. And in that diseased condition of life, being caught by the fever of illusion, he talks all kinds of nonsense and eats all kinds of unmentionable things. That's what Ramchandra Prabhu in the press conference he said. People eat who are not in Krishna consciousness. They eat all kinds of unmentionable things. The very poor, it was in Bhashava. He had a saloon with the press conference. The reporters wanted to know, what are these unmentionable things we are eating? He gave a nice answer. I forgot what it was. I think he said murder. You're eating murder. No, this would be my answer. But he said something more palatable. The point is that without Krishna consciousness, the soul is infected by the fever of illusion. And in this fever, he has no taste for Krishna consciousness. That's the second symptom of someone who is diseased. Not only will he talk all kinds of strange things being under the influence of the fever, no, he will not have taste for the natural. You might have experienced when you are in fever, you do not react very positively when a full plate of prasadam is brought to you. You appetite, thank you. This is the inappropriate reaction which is shown. So the Vaishnava who wants to be the preacher must understand these things with due consideration. And also he can get inspiration from these points by testing himself. When he has not the ruchi, the taste, it is a sign that he is a little bit again affected by the illusory potency of the Lord. You can test yourself how much taste you have for Krishna consciousness. Without this taste in Krishna consciousness, this higher taste, our activities will become somewhat stereotyped. So you can test, is this taste there? Now, in the word Vaishnava, which is defined as a natural condition of the soul can be explained by looking a little bit in the Vedas. And in this part, I want to quote a little bit Sanskrit grammar and the Vedas. It will be a little technical for some, but very tasty for other Sura scholars amongst us. Yes, the word Vaishnava obviously comes from the word Vishnu. Vaishnava is a servant of Vishnu. Now, according to the Rig Veda, first mandal, Kincha Vishati Shinchati Palayati Sarvam Idam Jagat, universe, Iti Vishnu. The Supreme Lord is called Vishnu because he impregnates and maintains the entire material and spiritual creation. If the anpradyaya, pradyaya means suffix, an additional word, is used on the word Vishnu, and then tadi yesh vachamade with adivriti and oguna sutras, then the result of this is the word Vaishnava. I also do not know what this means, but it means grammatic. And now, the definition of the Vaishnava is, according to the Panini Sutra, the standard grammatic, Vishnu Devata Ashyeti Vaishnavate Vaishnavaha. Whoever has accepted Lord Sri Vishnu as his worshipable Lord is called a Vaishnava, a Vaishnava. Another sutra says, those persons who fall in the direct family line of Lord Sri Vishnu are addressed as Vaishnavas. Vishnu Gotram Padyam Vaishnavate. Someone who becomes Krishna consciousness, this is what it says, becomes a member of this Gotra, this spiritual family. Gotra means so much as a family line. We do not, by our nature, we do not have glorious family lines. You come from a father who is born under the influence of lust, and his father was born under the influence of lust without any purificatory activities. He was a member of the Nadsha dynasty. A very fallen background, that's what we come from. But then, now this is the amazing thing, when someone becomes a servant of Vishnu, he transcends his family line and becomes a member of the Vishnu Gotra, or as we have often heard, the Achyuta Gotra. Just Achyuta means infallible, just like the Lord is unfallible. Someone who connects with him, although he comes from a very fallen background, he is lifted up on the transcendental platform. Mancha yobhya vicharina bhakti yogena sevate. This is the glorious process of Krishna consciousness. It can elevate someone from his material destiny into the family of Krishna. On this line, we all are brothers and sisters because we are belong to this family line, this Achyuta Gotra. Now, and many other interesting things, but I want to again go to the Vedas to go for a definition of the Vaishnava, because see, some smartas, they without being properly informed, become inimical to the Krishna consciousness movement by saying, well, you ate once meat, isn't it? Once this happened in one temple of Vrindavan, two sons Vyas is standing before one deity in Vrindavan and praying very fervently to the deity. The pujari came up to them and said, maybe if this goes on you can be born in a family of brahmanas and then you can worship the deity. We thought that you are from Lecha dynasties, you are not capable. So this devotees came, these two devotees came back to Prabhupada and told him, Prabhupada said, you should have answered, maybe if you worship this deity, continue worship this deity, you will be born in ISKCON in your next life. This has a very strong philosophical background. It was Prabhupada, what he in effect said is that a Vaishnava becomes a member of the Achyuta Gotra and transcends his family line because it's natural. Now, these brahmanas usually quote the Vedas, and we want to also quote the Yajurveda now, Hiranyakeshi branch. Please listen to this amazing statement. Any spiritualist who has a tilak mark on his forehead that goes upwards like a flame, who worships the Supreme Lord Shri Vishnu, the holder of the disc, who engages in the supreme meditation, bhakti yoga, who chants melodious Vaishnav mantras, who always keeps the Supreme Lord in his heart, who is transcendental to all material influences, and who desires to go back to Godhead. Such a great soul is called a Vaishnav. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental ISKCON Movement Ki. Now we can become empowered to come to this transcendental platform in the Achyuta Gotra by becoming serious about Krishna consciousness. Actually, everything is already there in this transcendental movement. We have heard everything. Now we have to do the little work which is left. Srila Prabhupada once said that initiation, and we have 60 new members in the Achyuta Gotra, this is a cause of great joy. The Vaishnav community, yesterday there was this birth ceremony. Now you all are devotees initiated in an authorized parampara, and you are now family members of the Achyuta Gotra. And now Prabhupada said, with the initiation, we are only 1 meter away from the door of deathlessness. There's 1 meter which separates you from the door through which you can go into the eternal kingdom of God. Your journey through the different species of life can end now when you just go through this door, this 1 meter. But this 1 meter, for someone who is not strong in a Vaishnav practice, can become like crossing the Himalayas. Can become difficult. Because Krishna consciousness is never a formula. It always, on all stages, has to do with the free will to surrender to God. And at every step, a devotee, a Vaishnava, has to be a hamsa, has to separate what is material from what is spiritual. This process certainly starts when we are when we were guests coming to the temple. We heard at one stage we should not eat meat, we should not associate with the opposite sex for lusty purposes. We have heard so many things, and then we started to discriminate. No, I don't eat this. No, I don't go to the disco any longer. I don't do that and that. Now, as a devotee becomes more refined, his discriminating potency must also become more and more defined. This is particularly explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where we are informed that parallel to the rise of the Bhakti Lata beach, all kinds of weeds, unwanted creepers, are growing up. So in the purport, Prabhupada makes the point that a good devotee will be able to discriminate. Is this now conducive to Krishna consciousness? Is this now the desired result of Krishna consciousness, or is this some weed? And this process of weeding out the anattas by using the discriminatory faculty, or the by using our discrimination, has to be done on every step in Krishna consciousness. It is very important to keep this in mind. This is our work in this while we are crossing this 1 meter which is separating us. We must learn to use our discriminating potency and give up that which is anatta, which is falsely valuable, or better, which is unnecessary in our Krishna conscious practice, and what is necessary for us. This must be done. This is not so easy. The process of surrender of prapati is described in many Vaishnava scriptures. Prabhupada, all of this brings it in almost the Siddhanta. He always puts, makes sure that it's always there. This surrendering to Krishna by giving up that which is unfavorable and accepting that which is favorable is our great challenge in this life. It is not an easy thing. It can be only done actually with spiritual strength. So that's one more point. Now, we speak about the Vaishnavas and the potency which is coming with the Vaishnavas. We have spoken also about how to become empowered in Krishna consciousness. Now, since the lecture is going to the end, and I want to tell you a story about this incredible potency. I'm gleaning this story from the Padma Puran. It is about amazing story. Yes, once there was a saint who, at a bank of a river, performed strong austerity. So Indra became envious and sent two of his apsaras to bewilder his mind. These apsaras danced not far away from the saint in a very, very attractive, outrageous fashion. And they danced so intensely that they lost their cloth and stood there in their female beauties. Now, these beauties of the apsaras are very, very bad. They do not smell, their eyes don't blink, their bodies emanate an odor which goes for a few kilometers. Their bodily forms cannot be described by using comparison of our experiences. And they have their certain mental powers and their shaktis. Anyways, the saint immediately knew that this is Lord Indra. I mean, he can't get me. And he became very angry and cursed these two girls, saying, "What are you daring to do? Now, as a result of your audacity and your somewhat vulgar behavior, I cause you to stand naked as trees." somewhat they broke, they melted the heart of this saint, and he reduced the curse and said, you will have to become trees, but there will be a devotee. You will have contact with a devotee. Then you get this contact of a devotee. As a result, you will also become devotees. Now, what happened is this. They became born as trees, and once the saint Bharata, who was a worshipper of Krishna, and he was reciting the Bhagavad Gita, one chapter every day, he was on a walk, and he felt a little tired. So there were two trees, they stood near to each other. The one he did is he placed his head on one of the roots of the tree, and the feet, because after walking, he's got to put the feet a little high, he put the feet on the root of the other tree, and then he fell asleep. So then he left. Just when he left, a flash entered this tree, and the trees were burned to ashes. Now these two girls took as a result of having contact with this devotee, they took birth in a family of brahmanas where they could immediately take up the worship of Lord Krishna, and by the Lord's mercy they retained the memory of Bharat, and when they were grown up they came to him to thank him. Thank you very, very much, you slept on us. No, not like that. And they told him the whole story. So this is the extraordinary quality of the Vaishnava. So since you 60 of us, most of them will not be here, having gone to their place of service, but still we want to say, and also our new friends and guests and half devotees and quarter devotees and mixed devotees, and please feel welcome into this Achyuta Gotra, this transcendental family line. It is our chance in this human form of life. It has been given to us by the mercy, and when we become strong and surrendered devotees, meeting the challenge, not running away, meeting the challenge to do what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable on all stages of our devotional service, then there is great hope. Great hope is already there, but there is certainty that in this life we will become Shuddha Bhaktas, we will be reunited with the Lord in his transcendental family. And who would not like to be a member of this transcendental family? Only a Parshudnath, someone who kills an animal or his own soul, he will not be incited or enthusiastic by hearing this reassurance from Shastra. And since we are all Vaishnavas, most of us are Vaishnavas, we have only very few guests still left who have not yet made the decision. Krishna, I want to end this program, this lecture, by saying Krishna consciousness is possible. It is within everyone. It is certainly within us. It can be awakened by coming in contact with the holy name. And this is what we want to just bring from our tour. This is a present from Poland, so to say, for the devotees. We could see with our own eyes it happening. We have no doubt that as we increase our book distribution and prepare the ground, and as we increase the preaching programs, all the programs which Prabhupada has designed, we can bring about a revolution in the impious heart of a modern beast called modern society. Hare Krishna. So we want to close here. Do you have any questions regarding this subject? Yes, sure, let me ask you. Nothing you should ask from a Vaishnava. If we are asked to give blessings, yes. When a Vaishnava is giving blessings to another Vaishnava, he says, Krishna Matir Astu. May your attention be fixed on Krishna. No, sorry. This was wrong. All wrong. If a Vaishnava is requested to give blessings to the other Vaishnava, this was okay. He has to say, that the Vaishnava who is requested has to say, Krishna Matiya Rahu, may your attention remain fixed on Krishna. Because it is assumed that he is already Krishna conscious. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't be in Dodhi and in the Tilak. Krishna Matiya Rahu, that's what you say to another Vaishnava. Now when there is a Kami who has not yet contact with Krishna, you say, Krishna Matiya Astu, may your attention be fixed on Krishna. This is given by Jayapataka Maharaj, who is very informed about Vaishnava etiquette. Yeah. They give them that. Alright, now this is a formula, this is a sentence. Krishna Matiya Rahu. Yes, this is just a sentence, but there must be an attitude. First of all, good, since Yashoda Dulal asked, when we approach a Vaishnava for blessings, what does this actually mean? Sometimes devotees come and say, blessings, and one doesn't know immediately how to react to this, because sometimes it's not clear what does the devotee want. Is it just a sweet or what precisely? What is blessing for you? Like when you give Sankirtan devotee wants to be victorious over another Sankirtan devotee, please bless me. This is a somewhat awkward situation. So first of all, when we seek blessings, what should we ask the Vaishnavas for? When you want to have the mercy of the Vaishnava, what do you do? Do you just dive down to the feet of what? Or do you steal some food from him by clubbing down another person who also tries to do it? How do you do? Now if we want to have blessings from a Vaishnava, we should ask him, please help me to become determined in Krishna consciousness. This, I feel, is what is still hampering me. And what do you do against envy, Prabhu? Please, give me your instruction. It is said, especially in context of the spiritual master, if we want to receive his mercy, how do we receive it? That is a very nice point. We receive it through the ear. We have to hear from him. His instruction. This is the mercy. This we want to say because we have discussed in our committee, we do not want any killing adventures. Now, see, if we want now a better festival according to the old standard, then you should all come with guns for the next festival. Now, if you want to shape up, you should come with a Vaishnava heart, respecting the other Vaishnavas, and not just not being violent. But this is only a side point. I mean, let us not blow it out of dimension. It's not hearing. This is how we receive. Prabhupada says the mercy of the devotee of the spiritual master can be received through no other organ than the ear. Okay, I think I've answered it. Yes. There was a question. We have some plans to go. We have a great desire. Yes. Then you are initiated. With initiation it is only a meter away. I'm not sure if I understand the question. Is it someone who once has returned back to Krishna, he does not fall back again into the spiritual world? Material world. So he has returned back after making this adventure. No, one who gave the final dhamma in this shloka. So is this answering the question? I see, there is something behind your question which I have not been able to sense as of yet. Yes, the spiritual world can be right here. But someone who is in Krishna consciousness lives in the spiritual world. It is not, you can't measure with a meter how far away, meters how far away we are from this spiritual world. We are living in the cloud of material existence, and when the Krishna sun rises again in our consciousness, then we are not in cloudy consciousness any longer. Then we are in the spiritual world. And our vision is also like this. The pure devotee, it is said, he doesn't see things exactly as a normal condition. So, Ishta Deva Spruti. Everywhere he says, sees this Ishta Deva, is Krishna. When you are in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will actually be there and say, I am, then you won't be I am any longer. I'm like this. He will show, yes, and you are like this. He will. This, very nice. You have some kind of parallel world, you could say this. But everything is spiritual, ultimately. So when you have been awakened to Krishna consciousness, you will see that. So, yes, Hare Krishna, our devotee is after us. Yes? Yes. By attachments, we cannot see what is good for us. As long as we remain attached, it is not possible for the soul to see the proper path. And in all this holds true on the lowest platform. Someone who is, I just heard from Vrindavan Purandana, the son of one of the friends of Lord Krishna, is actually is ill. He is dying, but he cannot give up smoking and alcohol, although he theoretically knows this will increase the pain and the disease. So as long as we are preoccupied with attachments, we won't be able to discriminate, even if we know. This is also explained. See, knowledge alone is not sufficient. The whole world knows so many things, but they are in utter misery. It must be knowledge mixed with bhakti. In the Gita it also said, Jnanagni sarvakarmani, the fire of knowledge can burn away all karma. Attachment is also a karma, that you are attached to a certain type of unmentionable food or certain type of activity. This is a conditioning we bring also with us in Krishna consciousness. Now, the fire of knowledge can burn away, but this is not theoretical knowledge. This Janakni Sarva Karmani, this fire of knowledge which burns away karma, that is explained first by Brahma in Brahma Samhita by the Shloka Kar Mani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam, that well, this bhakti, the karma is destroyed, and the attachments are also destroyed. Our conditioning is destroyed. So without love, your knowledge is won't be able to operate. Without bhakti. Therefore, this bhakti shakti is called. It's a spiritual strength. To also read about bhakti shakti, but this. This is in essence the Swarup Shakti, the divine energy of the Lord which descends in our heart. Oh. Is it possible to be in the material world forever? There is a statement in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says he casts the demoniac into the material world forever. Forever? Birth after birth. It's possible to stay forever. What did you say, Bhakti Bhagavad Gita? If you want, points us the way out. You have to be greedy to get out based on desire. Do not want. Good. I feel we should come to a close at this stage. Thank you very much. And please, one last concluding word. It is very nice that you come to these festivals. Always, let us always come in great numbers. And gives the managers of the festival committee a heartache, a headache, how to accommodate everyone. That is difficult. and in this way, let us let our batteries be filled up. Now for the next festival, up to the next festival, please take what you have realized here. Tomorrow, when you're not so tired, think, what is my realization, what do I bring out of this, and go into the full devotional service. Hare Krishna. Transcendental Shingha Chaturthi Festival Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.